everyone. Thank you for coming out. Please, let's open in prayer. Join me in the prayer to open up. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for this time of fellowship. Father, we ask that you would bless this time and give us wisdom and the Holy Spirit talk through us, Father, for your honor and glory, and that the saints would be edified. Give us wisdom and understanding to the book of Proverbs that we are studying this evening. Father, we ask that give all everyone safe travels home, and that we would, anyone else that's on their way, bring them here safely, Father. Father, we thank you and we praise you, and we ask for blessings and pray all this in our Lord Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so I would like to pick up where I left off a few weeks ago. We were working on the first of four key words in the book of Proverbs, and we started with wisdom, and I would like to summarize wisdom with a couple of definitions and a few readings I'm going to do, and then we're going to move on to instructions would be the next key word. The four key words that we started with, just to review, was wisdom, first, instructions, number two, knowledge, number three, and understanding, number four. Let's see. Okay, so in summarizing wisdom is the fear of the Lord and reverential awe, respect and humble submission, authority of the all-wise God. Amen. And particularly, a wise man or woman will live a life that honors the all-wise God. So that's my summary for the closing of wisdom being the primary word, and we're moving on to instructions. Are there any thoughts on those two readings on wisdom? Anyone have anything that they would like to add? Being the, you know, wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and reverential awe, respect, and humble submission, authority to our all-wise God.
And that was reverential awe, respect, what?
Reverential awe, respect, and humble submission, authority of the all-wise God. And the second half of that, Ray, was, in particularly, a wise man or woman will live a life that honors the all-wise God.
Thank you.
Jesse, I'd like to add Isaiah 55, verse 8.
Isaiah 55.
The Lord God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." And verse 11, "So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." And, you know, keeping our thoughts, our heart, in alignment with the Almighty God is where he desires each and every one of us all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's good. That's good, and it brings joy to us.
Yes,
and pleasing him. Yeah, that's excellent.
His will.
Excellent scripture. Thank you, Al. Thank you for the sharing that. That's very good. Anyone else?
Yeah, just a few weeks ago, how we were discussing how this idea of the skillfulness was included in wisdom. And it was just interesting when Brother Josh spoke a few weeks ago when he was going through Daniel. And just a verse in Daniel 1, it says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So it was pretty cool how that came up, that word skill again, in the book of Daniel.
Thank you. I made note of that. Thanks, Pete.
That was 17.
Okay, so the next key word is instructions. Instructions is the authoritative teaching, correction, and training in righteousness divined from the all-wise God. It is designed to mature believers and guide them in holy living. So that's our topic for this evening, instructions, and that's a brief definition. So before I give out any verses, I would like to ask anyone if they have any anything to comment on or share with or add to that last reading. And I'll read it again. Instructions is the authoritative teaching, correction, and training in righteousness divine from the all-wise God. It is designed to mature believers and guides them in holy living. So in Proverbs, as we all know, there's many instructions on how to live and how to apply the Lord's word to our life. And he puts it in simple terms, as I just read out, all very basic words that we know the meanings. And we're able to apply it. We're able to apply to be obedient, to listen to the authority, the teaching, the examples that he uses in Proverbs. He brings out instructions, he brings out wisdom, he brings out understanding. All these different four key words work together and complementing each other, all for the honor and glory of the Lord's word, his instructions to us, and how it would be pleasing and a blessing if we abide by those things. And he also, of course, we're not going over that, but certainly everyone knows here that in Proverbs it does say, if we make the other choices that are not his instructions on how he would like us to live and how it is pleasing to him, then there's the other road to go down, which is a bad road, in which there's bad consequences. He gives us choices. He gives us choices, and he tells us what the terrible consequences would be. So all this wisdom and instruction that he gives us, it's an opening blessing for us to be able to have the choice to choose to please the Lord, to first seek his kingdom and all his righteousness, and for his honor and glory. And so it's very important. So please, somebody, anyone have anything to, any input, any thoughts?
Yeah, just kind of thinking how you keep saying his instructions, and I think that's great. And you think of, like, if you were to have like a furniture kit and it comes with instructions and it's meant to be a step-by-step guide, not to stray from it, not to make your own interpretation of it. It's just follow the instructions.
That's excellent.
And you're going to get it. And that's what comes to mind when you're saying the Lord's instruction is, it's just meant to be followed. It's all there. There's nothing missing from it. And it's easy sometimes to think, like, oh, we could do it without the instructions type of thing.
And there's always sets ourselves up for failure. You know, and thank you, Pete. That's a wonderful example and analogy. Excellent. Really great. he gives us these instructions, I believe, and I understand that according to his scripture, because he's all-knowing, and he knows what's pleasing to him and what is according to his Father and his word, scripture. And he also, because we are sinners because of Adam's sin, he knows that the enemy, Satan, is always lurking and always trying to tempt us, misguide us, break our concentration, our meditation, our relationship, our fellowship with the Lord. And so that's why he gives us these instructions. And they're clear instructions. And we must know to understand the fear of God, and we must follow his instructions. That's my thoughts on that. And I believe that's why, absolutely why, he gives us these instructions.
You know, Jesse, the Holy Spirit, our Lord and Savior, is in us.
Yes.
And always reflects back to us the Word of God. And in verse 12 in Hebrews chapter 4, the writer wrote, inspired by the Spirit of God, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword."
Yes.
"And piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." And it gets right to the core of the matter when you come before the throne of grace, when you present the Word of God to him. And if you ask him, he'll guide you through his word.
Yes.
And
I agree.
It's such a blessing that we have his word before us. He left this for us. And he was wise enough to foresee how we would forget.
Yeah.
And how we change and alter, and our heart is so deceptive. And Satan is so deceptive. You were mentioning about Satan's ways. He's just the great deceiver.
Yes, yeah, he's.
And we don't even know it. We didn't know it before we knew him.
No.
And now that we know the Lord, that's proof that we know the Lord, because we can see Satan in our lives if we choose to. But God's love is so perfect. He'll let us walk straight to hell without going into hell. But he loves us that much. He wants us to choose him all the time. And it's a daily thing, like, "Give us this day our daily bread," the Lord Jesus Christ. Not once a month or once a year, every holiday or whatever the case may be. But he wants us to come to him daily, moment by moment. And it also says about the Lord Jesus Christ, and in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." 16, "Therefore, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need." And what a loving God we have.
Amen, brother. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you, Al. Okay, I'd like to give out some verses. Start with you, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, please. Braden, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Please. Donna, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, please. Al, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, please. Pete, Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, please. Phyllis, Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 and 33, please. Brian, Proverbs chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, please. Frank, Proverbs 15, chapter 15, verses 28 through 33, please. And finally, my good brother Marty. Proverbs 19, chapter verses 20 to 23. Okay, Ray, if you want to start it off.
Yep. Second Timothy 3, 16 to 17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, perfect, or complete, equipped for every good work.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you, Ray. So, anyone want to comment on that or give any feedback, any input on that? That's got a lot of good stuff in it, that verse. Good scripture. Good instructions.
Says all scripture. It's not just the red letters. It's all red letter. It's all inspired by God. It's all breathed out by God. And it's efficient and it's effective. It's profitable. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Amen to that.
It's interesting that the Lord said after he fasted for 40 days and the evil one tried to test him, and he said, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. So he quotes, every word's important.
Thank you, Brian.
I heard something that touched my heart about 2 weeks ago that really was pretty good about reading scripture and to read scripture not as a prescription for God. In other words, if I do this for God or listen to this for God and do that, this is what's going to happen. Or if I do this, this is going to happen, or but don't read it in that light, but to look at it as to read scripture, even though you're not going to understand every word you read from God, but as a description of what this book is all about, the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Hosts, the Lamb of God. And if you look from that perspective, as God took all his time to put this together through thousands of years for us, it's quite an amazing revelation to me. And I would hope that this touches anyone's heart tonight. Mm-hmm. That would be so sweet, because I would just get so bogged down with names and but the way this brother described it, he just read it as a description of the Son of God. Mm. And it'll help your Christian walk. And I thought, amen, brother.
Mm. It's like it says, yeah, when you're like in, it's instruction, and you don't add to or take away from God's word. Mm-hmm. And you don't overpower God's word with your opinion if it's contrary to God's will. Mm-hmm. You gotta be careful of that. When you express your opinion, it better be in line with God's mm-hmm. God's word.
Thank you for that. Very good. Thank you, brothers. Okay, Braden.
Oh, yeah, it's mine.
Thank you.
Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live.
Read that one more time, Braden. Hear, O sons, the instruction of my father.
So that's good. That's good. So hear, ye children, the instructions of thy father, and attend to no understanding. It's telling us that, you know, certainly assuming that your father is a godly man, and you seeking God's kingdom, first seeking God's kingdom and all his righteousness, it would be in line for a young man to be hungry for the Lord's word and to listen to the instructions of his father, of his dad. So that's very important. Dads bring up their sons and their godly dads and Christian men, that's wonderful, because it's a good time to be taught when you're a young man. And typically, a son always has a very special bond with their dad, and always wants to please their dad. And if the father, the dad, is very godly man, and the son sees that, he will most likely hold on to that and grow. And that's a blessing in itself. Goes on further to say in verse 2, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. He gives us good instructions, good doctrine, good scripture, good directions, and forsake ye not my law. In other words, make sure you follow it. follow it. Meditate on it. Always. We must build ourselves up spiritually so that when the enemy comes to do what he's here to do, which is all wrong, we are as much prepared as we possibly can be. We have the Lord with us always as we continue to build our relationship with the Lord and fellowship, learning and reading and studying his scripture and being at the studies and being at the chapel and being involved and having the Lord in our hearts all day, no matter what happens, that we have him to look to and ask. Them are the instructions. His instructions are here. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Number three, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. So what is that telling anybody? Anybody have anything? Because I shouldn't be doing all the talking here. Especially when you folks, you brothers and sisters, have so much good, more insight and wonderful things to share that's in your heart from the Holy Spirit. So please.
I believe it's describing the Lord Jesus Christ in that scripture you just read. The Lord Jesse is opening and blessing all of us here tonight. He's here amongst us.
Yes, he is.
And he knows what we need. And I think he's providing a good dose of whatever it is we all need here. And I appreciate that fact that he cares that enough, cares enough about us to even allow us to hear his word.
Yeah, praise
the
Lord.
We don't deserve it.
Praise the Lord. He loves us unconditionally.
It is a good illustration, though, right? Because even apart from a father, a God-fearing father, it's part of the normal cycles of humans. Parents love their kids. You know, you have some bad parents. You have some parents that aren't around. Some people lose their parents early. But in general, parents love their kids. Instructions that come from not parents might get further from loving a kid, right? So like you think about when a parent gives instructions for a kid, it's because they're really concerned about the kid. Mm-hmm. It's my kid. I want you to grow up the right way. I love you. I care for you. If you go a little bit further out, if you get instruction for your teacher, from your teachers in school, they might like you. They might not die for you. They'll give you instruction, but it's a paycheck. You go a little further out, instructions that come from the state or the something like that, right? They want you as a taxpayer. They don't want you committing crimes. But they don't really love you, right? Like, it's not like the state is sitting there worried. I'm concerned about their upbringing. It's like, no, they want you to pay your taxes, be a law-abiding citizen, and don't cost us a lot of money and keep paying until you die. So as you go further out, there's less of that. It's instruction without love.
Yeah.
But here, this picture that in Proverbs of that closeness of a dad or a parent with their kid, lots of love. And then if we go back to the point where Al was saying, where all scripture speaks to the Lord Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Like, think about this. The father loves the son. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Loves him. And he loves us. And Jesus says that the Father enjoyed him, like he enjoyed the Father. Like he loves each other, right? And he loves us. And what does the Father do for us? Points us to the Son. You got to get in on this. you got to get in this. Be part of this relationship. Be so, like, the idea that our Heavenly Father wants us so closely that he points and gives us instructions that give us a picture of his son because he wants us to know him like that. This is the deepest possible love that he has for us. And then a love that doesn't end. It doesn't end in like the next few years. He wants to show the unsearchable riches of the depths of his love throughout time. That's how much he loves us.
Yes, that's good.
So the instructions here, that's good stuff.
It is good stuff. Thank you. Thank you, brother.
The other thing I see in verse 3 is that it's past tense. For I was my father's son.
Yeah.
And obviously he's older, matured. Maybe dad had passed on. If it's David versus Solomon, but he taught something. Then he goes on about the tenderness, the tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Not only were words taught, but the father's actions were taught. And he understood the actions and became a tender son as well. When I look at that particular verse. In verse 4 he says, and he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. And obviously the son retained the words and put it into action.
Thank you, Brother Brian.
You're talking about all the let's say we'll call them the good fathers. You got fathers out there that just say, I'm the boss.
Oh, yeah.
You do what I tell you to do. There's no reasoning behind it. There's no love behind it. It's just like, hey, I'm the father.
Yeah.
You do what I tell you to do.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because they don't have the fear of the Lord. They don't have the relationship with the Lord. And that's the most valuable, precious thing a dad could teach his son or daughter. That is the most. And to learn and understand, know the Lord as their Savior, to be shared that, and then to know that they need to fear the Lord, to know that there's consequences, and that fear to be in a child as the child grows into an adult, because to have that relationship with the Lord and know that, you know, you will be accountable, you know, and that's important. And I think sometimes, as sons or daughters, we maybe take things for granted. If we have a very Bible-believing Christian dad and mom, you know, sometimes maybe it's repetitious or too much or something. But for the ones that pay attention and that keep in the Word, they're better off. Obviously, they're better off because the world is always trying to distract us. That's what I believe.
I've experienced this with people. When they have a father that has abandoned the family, or a tough father, I have seen the kids go one of two ways. Uh-huh. They can either do the opposite of the father, or become like the father.
Yes.
And if it becomes like the father, it's a tough dad or an abandoned dad, it just makes life worse for the people around them. But if they go the opposite way, a lot of times I've seen them go towards God.
Because what you'll get is you'll see the father was a great teacher and what not to be like.
Right.
Right, without even knowing he was doing that.
You're getting personal now. You're getting personal now.
Yes.
What not.
And you see it the other way too, right? Like you see the good fathers and some sons go the opposite way.
Yeah. Mm.
That's where it's like the exceptions don't make the rule, you know?
My dad actually left when I was 11 years old. And I saw him in a very bad way. I saw him as a drunk. I saw him do things he shouldn't do to other people. Later on, when he came to know the Lord, and he came to the house I gave him for being my father. He says that he basically made me what I was. So, and I said, I'm not even going to just touch that one because I may have to hurt him.
Well, at least he didn't name you Sue.
That's true.
You go by the song, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, anyone else? Any input on chapter 4, verses 1 through 4? Okay, Donna.
Yep. It's Proverbs 4, 12, and 13.
Yes, please.
Okay. Proverbs 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a forward mouth. A frown. What is that? Froward? He winketh with his eyes, and he speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers.
12 and 13. 12
and 13,
yes.
Yeah. A naughty person, a wicked man, walking with a frown.
What chapter was that?
Oh, you know what? I am reading from Proverbs 6.
Yeah,
that's good enough, though.
Yeah, I thought my translation was really off.
Yeah, that's why I was checking alternate translations.
Donna, that's like, where I was,
see,
too.
I'm like, I don't see how that word translates to four. I checked four translations.
Donna's just like, making sure we're not falling asleep here. All right, Donna.
Go ahead, Donna.
Okay, let's go 4, right, 13,
let's try,
14.
Let's
try it again.
Let's try this again, yeah. 12, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Is that better?
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Al.
So those are two very good verses on staying straight and taking fast hold of instructions. Who would like to comment on that or add to it, share anything that's in your heart?
I just want to say, I thought Ray brought up a really good point about the instruction. God's instruction is with love. Because there are a lot of instructions out there, like he said. You know, the government gives us this, you get a teacher's instruction. He brought up about the instructions you read. You know, but only God's is with love, and parental. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that would be with love, too.
Yeah, that's a good point, right. Phyllis. Thank you.
And if we leave anything out, you know, like when you're following instructions.
Yes.
To build something, you leave something out. That whatever
incomplete.
Doesn't,
right.
Yeah, it's not complete. And that's the same thing with the Lord. If we leave the Lord out, you know, all the instruction that he gives us and we don't take it,
right,
it's not going to work.
No.
You know, whether it be our marriages or our relationships or
anything we do.
Right,
really,
anything
we do.
We do.
From the smallest thing to the most important thing and all in between it. I agree, and that's exactly what I believe the Scripture's instructions is stating. That's why I believe the Lord has given us these instructions, because we need them, and we need to be humble and not prideful, and we need to be hungry for His Word, His instructions, and as the Holy Spirit grows in us, we become very happy and full of His love and. In loving one another, as he says for us to, as he has loved us. So all of it is in not only in Proverbs, throughout the whole book, but we are studying Proverbs. So it's really, we're blessed. And these fellowships are wonderful because they help us all grow in the Lord's Word. And it honors our Lord. It makes him happy. It pleases him. And that we can't do anything better in our lives than to please him. He's pleased when we go to work, if we have a job. If we do our due diligence from our heart, and whomever we speak with, that's related to what we have to do on our job. However, we take care of the task list that we have and whatever else we do. You know, and there are many times that things don't go right in work, no matter whose work it is, no matter if you're corporate or if you're a well digger and anything in between, things go wrong. But we have to have our hearts with the Lord and ask Him to give us instructions, give us guidance, give us understanding, and the ability to get through it. And we give it to Him. And when we do that, He blesses us, He guides us, He leads us. And we have His instructions always to look upon. And I think that's just so many more blessings that He just keeps on giving us. And really, we're so blessed. We are.
Phyllis, I want to jump off of something you said too, right? That when you said that the parent, they give those instructions, right? They love us, right? Mm-hmm. And if we miss out, like, we might mess up, right? But then I started thinking about myself as a parent. I would give instructions, and I might not get it 100%, right? There's things that I instruct my kids, and then I see when they're older, I'm like, I can't believe it. I never told them. And stuff that's not even imaginable. Like, who would have imagined waking up in 2024 and saying, I should have taught my kid that a boy's a boy and a girl is a girl?
Yeah, you took it for granted.
Yeah, you took it for granted.
Yeah.
But here's what blows me away with Scripture. When we read that 2 Timothy 3:15, 16, mm-hmm. right? It said, it's all profitable for teaching, for reproof, for training, and correction, and godliness, so that the person is complete. God gives us the instruction, and He doesn't miss a beat. He gives us exactly what we will be complete with. He knows it all. So it's not like He didn't give us instruction that doesn't cover something. It's all there. So we need to be like sitting, like listening to this love letter, this instruction He's giving us, because He gave it to us as, listen to this. This is how you're complete. This is how you're equipped for every good work. It's right here.
Also notice the fact that every individual is different, but God's instructions the same for every individual.
It applies to everybody. Yeah, that's a good, great point, Brother Brian. That's really good. All great things to share with brothers and sisters. On Proverbs 4, 12, and 13, anyone else have any input or thoughts before we move to the next verse?
Yeah, one of the things I see in that particular section is where it talks about when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. And my mind went right away to Isaiah 40:30. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And it really comes right down to waiting on the Lord, spending time with Him, so that you can walk that narrow, righteous path.
Amen. That's good. That's really good. Thank you.
I just to remind me, when my father passed, he had, just like all of us, probably had a hang-up or something. He's a great man, but a woman said when he did pass, and I always love what she said. Said Mr. Roach always started off on the right foot, you know, but the trials of life kind of altered your way of walking. But it was a nice appraisal, I thought. Mm. Sorry.
No, that's very nice. You know. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Marty. Al, you're up, sir.
Proverbs chapter 6, verses 22 and 23.
Yes, please.
When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandments is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproof for discipline are the ways of life.
Thank you. Okay. So, any thoughts on that, those two verses?
I think some of the, you see the relationship of some of these things and more personal. The verse we just read prior to it was talking about how it was that plea to keep instruction, to keep her. And now words like this where it says, it shall keep you. So it's like that.
Yes.
It's kind of going back and forth between what the instruction, what the wisdom, what the understanding, what's that going to do for you and what your responsibility is in order to keep that. And it's kind of like this back and forth picture of you keeping it, it keeping you, and just interesting some of the word choice.
Yes, thank you, Pete. So when thou goest, it shall lead thee, like Pete was saying. So his word is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us all the time. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. So he's in our hearts, his word, his scripture, the Holy Spirit, all the time. When we're walking, when we're sleeping, when we awake. And to always have meditating on his word and his ways, we wake up with an open heart. We wake up with a happy heart, because the first thing we think of, this what comes to my heart and my mind, and this particular verse, you wake up, you know, thinking of the Lord's word. And it's a wonderful thing to do. And you can't start the day off any better. And when we're walking, whatever we're doing, if we're going for a walk, if we're on lunch, we're at work, going to the store, we are walking in the way of his scripture, his word, the instructions that he has given us to live and abide by. We have it with us always. It's in our hearts, it's in our smile, it's in who we are because of him, because of his love, because of his instructions, his clear, simple instructions. And we just need to choose to continue to have, as I've heard it, a kind of starvation hunger for his word, his instructions, his direction, to please him, to honor and glorify him, like it says in Matthew, ye first seek all of his kingdom and all his righteousness. If we have that on our heart always, this is the kind of walk we will have, this kind of sleep we will have, everything, you know, the 3 points that are brought up from 22 and 23, excuse me, too. For the commandments is the lamp. Go ahead.
One of the things is God gave Moses instructions, and for Israel and for us. In Deuteronomy 6, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. But then in verse 7, because we're talking about when you're sleeping, when you wake, when you walk, and this is verse 7, it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto the children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So God's word, and it's interesting that when God made our hearts, It's the heart go, and then the mind, not the mind to the heart.
Right.
And that's memorization, but meditation is the heart to the mind. And
amen.
It's settled. And if you take it, meditate on it, it sets in your heart.
Yes.
And you can walk, say in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. It's a constant dependence on God.
It is.
So as you're walking, talking, sleeping, whatever the case, your subconscious, your conscious is working.
Amen to that. And you know, brother, and that it's exactly what I was trying to explain, because me personally, you know, I've known the Lord for a long time and never was a terrible person, but I assure you, not to miss a beat, that 10 or 15 years ago, I wasn't constantly always thinking about the Lord's Word. I was having problems with different things, but I wasn't turning to the Lord. And my only point to that is, not to talk about me, to bring a point, is exactly what Brother Brian just shared, and these two verses, is that if we constantly are always thinking and meditating on His Word, when we're walking, when we're sleeping, when we awake, all that stuff, and it's in our hearts, just like He shared, not in our minds, it's our hearts first. It's who we become and who we are as we grow more and more, and it goes to fellowship with the Lord. So when we're in His Word, when we're meditating on Him, where we're always thinking of Him, saying, Lord, give me guidance, give me instructions. Because there are times in the daytime that all of us, at different times, for different reasons, in different situations, get these little hiccups, or in biblical terms, temptation. And as we are in the Lord's Word, I have and meditating and reading and praying throughout the entire day, we are so much less accessible, you know, prone to not stay in fellowship, not stay on track with His Word and His instructions. His instructions. And the more we stay in it, in our hearts, not like it's, like Al said, not like it's a prescription. Oh, I got to take it at 12, I got to take it at 5. No, it's in our hearts constantly. It's a way of life. It's in our hearts. It's what we want, and we want to please. And the Lord knows what we want. He knows. He knows our hearts before we know our hearts. And He blesses us, and He continues to let us get stronger and stronger, because the enemy is always lurking. That's his job. And he's terrible, and he's bad. But he's our enemy. He's the devil. He's Satan. So we must have our guard up. It's, you know, in layman terms, it's like a fighter and a trainer that trains the fighter. They have to work all the time. If a trainer takes a week or two off, rest assured, his muscles, his speed, his technique, his endurance will be less, will not be as strong. I mean, I missed several weeks with Pete, and I'm not a trainer. I'm not an athlete. Pete's a trainer, but there's a difference in 3 weeks. And I'm not a fighter or anything. I'm just a regular person that needs to exercise. So my only point is, stay in the Word, continue to look for instructions from our Lord in His Word, and He will continue to guide us and show us and direct us, protect us, and help us live according to His Scripture. I mean, that's what I believe. That's what His Word says, to follow His instructions and keep in fellowship. And keeping in fellowship means being obedient, being in His Word, in His Scripture. And as our hearts want it more and more, it isn't hard. It's not hard. Because our hearts want it, and we're pleasing the Lord.
It's true.
So,
Jesse, verse 23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp and the law alike. Back in Psalm 119, 105, it's pretty, to me it's a little clearer. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Yes, that's good, Frank. That's excellent. That's a great point. Anyone else on chapter 6? Okay.
Do you want to, do you guys want to stop?
Yes, okay, thank you. I didn't recognize, I didn't keep in track. Okay. All right, well, we'll pick up next week, and let's move into some prayer requests.
I'm going to turn it off now.